So I invite you this week to carry this letter with you. Maybe put it by your bedside if you're a bedside reader, or put it, tape it near your bathroom mirror if you're a morning reader. And pay attention to what jumps out at you, or what sticks with you, or what phrase might cling along to you this week. And not only take it into your life, but try to put it into practice. We're going to spend just 8 or 9 minutes here walking through these 8 paragraphs. And I think that second page didn't end up with a paragraph break, but there's 8 paragraphs. We're going to quickly jaunt through them. And then right at the end of our time, I'm going to invite any questions that you might have about the letter of the day, just in case you have any questions that you want to get answered before you leave and try to put this letter into practice. We're just going to move through it a paragraph at a time. The first paragraph is basically a reiterating of what was said in 1 John chapter 1 of the Jays saying, you're God's beloved, but we're stuck and stymied by this world of sin. But don't lose heart, because the God's beloved card way outplays the we're schmucky sinners card. And so we have a priest friend. I love how Eugene Peterson has phrased that in this translation. We have a priest friend, righteous Jesus, who solved the sin problem for good. Not just yours and mine, but the whole world, the whole cosmos. But it's not a reason to bask and get lazy, because in paragraph 2, the Jays say, there's some ways to keep these commandments. Number one, keep God's word. And if that isn't practical enough for you, number two, if you read this in the original, the verse translation, verse 6 says, live the same kind of life Jesus lived. And if you've got a pen or a highlighter, I'd say that's a pretty important one to hang on to this week. Live the same kind of life Jesus lived. This Jesus that's being formed in us is living the Jesus way out of us. And that doesn't mean just in the late 90s, there was that WWJD bracelet. Do you remember that? What would Jesus do? And you're supposed to wear that bracelet, and when you were tempted, you're supposed to look at the bracelet and think, oh, what would Jesus do? And then you do that thing that Jesus did. Now, it was quite a trend. Now, Dallas Willard, one of my favorite authors, kind of poked at it a bit and said, really? Just by looking at that bracelet, you're going to be magically able to do what Jesus did? And he likened it to being a sports professional. It's like, well, if I had a WWTD bracelet, what would Tiger do? And I was on the 9th driving range, and I just think, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. What would Tiger do here? What would Tiger do? He'd nail it. Boom. Is that going to magically make you nail it? I'm going to say no. If you had a WWLD, what would LeBron do? You're going up for the shot in that outdoor playground? Well, what would LeBron do? He'd nail this 30-footer jump shot. Of course. What would LeBron do? Swish. It's not that easy, right? And Willard says, that's why we have spiritual practices. Because we put into practice the Jesus way by being enlivened by the Spirit or being with one another in community, so that when we try to live the Jesus way in the midst of our real life, there's some patterns or some habits or some graces or some practices that we can actually lean on to live the Jesus way. So my encouraging word for you this week is that you have a much better chance of living like Jesus than you do than living like Tiger. Thanks be to God. Lots of reasons to be thankful for that. Paragraph 3. John says, my dear friends. Joanna says, my dear friends. I'm not writing anything new here. And so just a reminder that this is the great old story that's been told since Genesis. that God loves you and God wants you to be Jesus in the world, to love the world, to love one another. And if you hate one another, you can't love God and love each other at the same time. This isn't new news, everybody, but these are John and Johanna's most important words to us in their final letters. Paragraph 4, affirmation time. You can do it, you can do it, you can do it. And there's three categories of people here. There's children of God, which probably means everyone in the church. And then there's this veterans, meaning those who've probably been in the faith longer. And then newcomers, kind of the newbies. And John and Johanna, the Jays, say, children of God, your sins are forgiven. That's why we do an assurance of pardon each week, to remind you that your sins are forgiven. If we're faithful to confess our sins, God forgives us. But then to the veterans, they say, you know God's faithfulness in the long haul. Keep on encouraging the newcomers. And to the newcomers, you bring this vitality and strength to the faith. We need you. We need you. And so you look around this room, even this morning, and we see different generations. Look around the room. Feel free to look around. It's a miracle that we have a downtown church that has generations in it, I'll remind you. And so you look around this church and you look at the generations. Some of us are newcomers to the faith. Some of us have been Christians for 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 years. And we need each other. And so then in the second cycle, the affirmations to the children of God, you're all having personal encounters with the living God. Good job. And veterans, you're the long obedience in the same direction types. Keep it up and keep on encouraging us younger ones. And to the newbies, vitality, strength, even in the midst of pressure and feeling the oppression of the evil one in this evil world that we sometimes find ourselves caught in the systems of evil, you're fighting the good fight. And there's things that we can learn from you. Which then, all these accolades lead into paragraph 5. Warning. Kind of builds you up to get you in that strong place so you can hear these words of warning. The Jays are saying to these beloved children and to us, we know you don't do this. That's why we've just heaped all this affirmation on you. But just in case you haven't noticed, the way of the world is sure sucking the way of the Jesus life out of your church and your community of faith. And they're starting to hint at the ways of those who have gone out from them and become these disruptors, these antichrists. Remember the Peterson quote, the most two difficult things we get wrong in life are God and love. And these disruptors have loved the world's ways, and they've become enthralled by the world's goods. The love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Be warned, children of God, be warned. Paragraph 6. In case you're wondering, with all the deceptive influence, the Jays are concerned. They saw the fall of Jerusalem in 70 CE. They've seen the church go through lots of challenges in 40 or 50 years that they've been church planting. And they wonder if the time is up. And right in that sixth paragraph, children, time is just about up. You've heard that Antichrist is coming. Well, they're all over the place. And then in paragraph 7. So who's lying here? Who are these antichrists? And what I want to bring to light here is that antichrists aren't like these zombie-like looking people with green saliva dripping. We are antichrists. We have come out from them. Pardon me. Antichrists are people who deny God and deny Jesus. And so, unfortunately, Antichrist can be just like you and me. Whenever we deny love, oh, that's why Karen's congregational life on council. God bless her. Whenever we deny God, or deny the love of the Father, or deny the way of Jesus in the world, we're prone to become antichrist. I know that doesn't feel good, but it's not this evil monster out there. Or it's not these evil people who've become decrepit and ugly and gross and, oh yeah, of course they're antichrist. And so, maybe that hits close to home, but don't forget all the affirmations, all the great news of this letter is you're God's beloved. You know Jesus. You've lived the way of Jesus in the world. But warning, don't become those people who see God's way in the world and then deny it, or see the posture or the hospitality or the grace or the kindness of Jesus in the world and then deny it. And that's why the J's say, stay with what you heard in the beginning. Let it sink into your life. Paragraph 7. If what you heard from the beginning lives deeply in you, you will live deeply in both Son and Father. This is exactly what Christ promised. Deep, lasting life. And then in paragraph 8, final warnings. I've written to warn you about those who are trying to deceive you, these disruptors, these antichrists. But they're no match for what is embedded deeply within you. Isn't that good news? They're no match for what's been embedded deeply in you. So stay awake, pay attention, my beloved. It's not in your own strength, but the good news is that you have been anointed. You've been entrusted with this Christ life. In the letter of Paul, he talks about the mystery of Christ in you, the hope of glory. Live deeply into what you were taught. And so there's nothing new under the sun as we read this letter of love. There's no magical way for us to live a better Christian life this summer. But we can take this love letter to heart. We can read it. We can put it by our bedside. Maybe we can post it near our bathroom mirror. And we can continue to hear ourselves being affirmed as beloved. But then we can also be reminded to live the Jesus way in the world. And that you're not alone. I want to just give a couple minutes, like I said, for any quick questions before we sit with a final quiet moment with this letter. Any questions, like things that bugged you in this portion of the letter that you might need clarification, and I'll try to clarify it for you. Yes. Are antichrist believers who deny Christ? Well, yeah, it seems like this church or these churches have had believers in them that have now gone out from them and become these disruptors, these people who are spreading lies about the divinity of Christ, the humanity of Christ, and it seems like they're practicing ways that aren't reflective of the Christian community. So, yes. Were they ever true believers in the first place? I think that's a great question. I'd probably go both ways on it. I think some of them probably never understood who this Jesus was and the radicality of this good news. And then I think some were, yeah, maybe like that seed that was planted on shallow ground that took root for a while and then whisked away because of the schemes and the system of the evil one. Great question. Any other quick thoughts or reflections? Yes. Great. You're making a comment on the importance of the generations and how if we're all just one generation in church, you're not setting yourself up for a church that's going to last on either end of the spectrum, right? If you've got a bunch of gray hairs in the sanctuary, you know that the end is coming. If you've got a bunch of little punk teenagers trying to be the church, there's no way that they're going to be able to pay for it, number one. And number two, they're newbies. They've got energy and vitality and they're excited about Jesus, but they don't have that wisdom and that grace and that long obedience in the same direction. It's great. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I think along the same lines, you're saying that balance word is needing the generations, needing the mixture of these gifts and these people. And again, yeah, when you look around this room and you think of all the people and the places and the backgrounds and the joys and the sorrows that we all bring together, this is us as the church. And that's why it's so important to get God right and to get love right. And not make up our own image of who we think God is and make up our own styles of how we think the love of Jesus ought to be lived out in community. Good. We're going to close. I'm going to give you just 30 or 40 seconds to sit with that letter in front of you and to continue to pay attention to what words or phrases might be coming to life for you as the Spirit of our living Lord moves through this place today. Lord Jesus, thank you for your living word that we'll carry with us this week in the form of this love letter. And we pray that as we reflect on the phrases and the words, and then as we try to bring them to life, both within this community of faith and in those places that you send us to this week, that you might encourage our hearts as we try to get God right and get love right as we live the way of Jesus for the good of the world. Amen.